We are so grateful for that what God did already and are convinced that the greatest and mightiest is still to come. And as we looked at last night, it will not be by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Provided we got the whole word revealed and believe it and let ourselves be aligned with this word so that God has the possibility to freely confirm it without any hindrance, then also we shall see the glory of God. I remember the vision that Brother Branham had when he was still on this earth. He was taken over into paradise and he saw a large multitude. And it said that it's millions. And he asked, who are these? You all know, John also asked in Revelation 7, who are these? But in this case, it said they are those who became believers through your ministry. We noticed in the last few weeks, more than ever before, we have said it already, and we wrote it here and there, but it stood out to us that Brother Branham really only received the commission to store in the food. Not a single time he was told that he will also give out the food. You can see that since the time around the 1st of April 1962, with just a few hours time difference, if one would take away these 8 hours, then it would be the same time when the Lord told him for the first time that he should store in the food. And then came the sermon, sirs, is this the time of the 30th of December 1962? And in other sermons, he also pointed to it, that the Lord commanded him to store in the food. And he time and again said, the time comes where the food will be needed. And you all know the prophet in the Old Testament spoke of it, that God would send a hunger, not a hunger for bread and water, but a hunger to hear the word of the Lord. Not a word which theologians have interpreted, but the word which came fresh from the throne. The true word which is our spiritual food. We also mentioned it yesterday, that the Lord took care for it. He gave a time span in which all these sermons were preached by Brother Branham. He gave a time span in which these sermons were translated into various languages and are now available. There was a little time of calling out, of preparation, and we are really convinced that God has still many. If we say many, then this is in comparison to the total population, just a drop in the bucket. But we are thankful that the death on the cross of Jesus Christ was worthwhile, that God doesn't go empty-handed and the devil takes it all, but that God manifests his victory and at the end most certainly will manifest himself in a mighty way. Many are happy if few are saved. It's different with me. I'm happy. The more are saved, the better. Right? And that's how it should be with all of us. If one speaks about it and somebody says, most surely not many are going to be saved, then this can be unbelief. Even if God would not do it, it would be better for us to believe that he does it. By this we show that the Savior's love is in our hearts and that we count with it to not only be saved ourselves, but many others also, I would be sincerely happy. The more, the better. I told it to you before. You can preach the best if you have a multitude before you which you cannot overlook. The more people, the better one can preach. It's just like that. All who stood here, they know that it is so. And we hope that we can still preach well, because many, many are coming to hear the word of the Lord. You know very well what I mean. Likewise, we speak to individuals like a Philip, whom the Lord has taken out of a revival in Samaria, and he sent him to one man who was reading in the prophet Isaiah, "As he leads, so I will follow him," a songwriter sings. Whether one, whether a home gathering, whether a couple of thousand, God leads everything. Now, Brother Schmidt has read us a wonderful word. I cannot speak this afternoon. You notice that my voice is hoarse and my strength also diminished a bit. By the way, I will be away for a couple of weeks. But we promised our brethren from Belgium on the third Sunday in November, we will be in the morning at 10 o'clock in Liège, and in the afternoon at 15 hours, we will be in Brussels. God opened wonderful doors there, and the situation that earlier was not so good, it turns now, as far as we can see, to be good. God will have the victory at the end. And all who cause damage, they will be put to shame. God will not allow that more damage is caused than necessary. This he always did. He will intervene at the right time. We are looking forward to it. We love our brothers, our brother Joseph, our brother Gilson, our brother Roger, and who they are. And we also love our brethren from Lyon in a special way. And all of you, we love you with all our heart. If we could just express it the way we feel it, about that what God has done, and about each one is joy in our hearts. We are grateful that the Lord has called us out. And be prepared, whoever walks on the narrow way with the Lord, he will have to walk on a thorny path that goes up steeply and that is narrow, and it will be a way of contempt, a way of misunderstandings. It will really be the most unpleasant way, earthy scene, that exists on earth. What kind of ways did the men of God have to walk? Which ways did the prophets walk? Also this I said here before. Who of the prophets did lay a finger on one single man? And yet the Holy Scripture says, from the blood of Abel up to the blood of Zacharias, all the blood of the prophets was shed. Not because they were criminals, they were hated and persecuted and killed, but because they were carriers of the divine word. And therefore, the devil hated them so much. Since the days of Cain, he has shed blood. Shall it be different with us? Don't expect on earth a great welcome. Don't expect that the people speak well of us. This they did with all the false prophets. If we are true children of God, we have to step into the footprints of the true prophets and the men of God and the overall church. Not only in the Old Testament, also in the New, you can read it. There came a persecution upon Jerusalem, and all were scattered, even to the apostles. And everywhere there was trouble, there were misunderstandings. The enemy shakes everything from all sides. But by the grace of God, it is then manifest, whether we are chaff or wheat. Yes, sometimes when the storms are so heavy and everything rages around us, I tell you what the wind blows away. He never blew wheat away, never. I come from the farm. I know how it works. There is threshing, there is sifting, but everything what is blown away is not worth to remain here, namely the chaff. The chaff and the wheat falls so nicely down and gathers close together and gives a nice sight. So, all the winds and storms which are around us, everything what can come along our way, it will settle and strengthen us. After all, Jesus is the first wheat corn that fell into the ground and died and came forth and brought forth much fruit. And when Brother Schmidt read these verses here, that not many high persons are among us, then I was thinking on the spiritual application. We are the highest people on earth. All the others received a knighthood and became aristocratical, and we are born aristocratic. We are of divine kindred. We didn't go through any procedure. We are really of divine kindred. We are the highest born people on earth. Here princes can come. We are a people of kings and priests of our God. So, we are highly born. Praise and thanks be to our God. Yes, this is something wonderful. It says here, not many noble are called, not many who have much influence, but people who experienced the divine influence. What good is earthly influence? The Church of the Living God is, of course, under the divine influence. Not many noble after the flesh. That's correct. But no one can be higher born than from God. And the Holy Scripture says, that what is born of God, this overcomes the world. And the faith is the victory that has overcome the world. And here we are again at the core of our proclamation. The faith in Jesus Christ. The faith in the promised word. The faith that we now may witness a part of the plan of salvation. Yes, the completion, the crowning of the whole work. Sometimes it would do so good to us if we would know how much time we still have. But it would not be good at all. It would not do us any good. We are the best advised if we at any time count with the coming of the Lord, but remain sober until He comes, because really nobody knows when He comes. And I was asking here on a Wednesday evening that brothers and sisters should read the sermons of Brother Branham from the year 65 to find out there how many times he still in the last year spoke of the coming of the Lord, because the teaching is going around that the Lord has come already. I mentioned this briefly in the circular. But there Sister Vogt found more than 40 places, and my Sister Hertha also more than 40, and others are still searching. Most certainly you, Sister Annelies. She says she found even more. Yes, so we have nice people here who read well, who know their way around. If somebody would come and preach things that are not correct, I think even the sisters would say, one moment, not like this. Then you have for the first time the right to say, not like this. Yes, otherwise you unfortunately have to be silent, but it is good to you. Pardon? If something is not correct, then we can all open our mouths. The sooner, the better. And so we really have only one desire, to agree with the Lord and His Word, and finally also to agree with one another. How can two walk together unless they agree? That's how we read it in the prophet Amos. So, how can we walk together unless we have the same destination? And this we don't want to reach crab-wise. The straighter the way, the better it will be. That's how already in the days of John the Baptist, all the uneven should be leveled, all the crooked should be straightened. And this was then the way of our God, so that the glory of the Lord can be manifested. The same, that's how we believe, has happened in this time. We wait for the coming of the Lord. We found one place. There, Brother Branham greets many, many groups in Phoenix, in New York, in all the country, and says to them, all you who you wait for the coming of the Lord, and you in Phoenix, all you who wait for the coming of the Lord. And right at the end, he comes then to Jeffersonville and says, you here in the home church, we are gathered here and wait for the coming of the Lord. And so we believe that when the Lord comes, it will not be a doctrine and not a knowledge. Oh, it will be a glorious morning. A wonderful day breaks then forth. And this will be the day that will be crowned as the day of grace, as the day of the Lord. He will return, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we, who we are alive and remain, we shall be changed, and together will be taken up to meet the Lord in the clouds, in the air, and will then be with the Lord at all times. Also this we proved scripturally and have shown on the basis what Brother Branham said of the great event of the cloud on the 28th of February 1963, of which it is being said that it was the coming of the Lord. Whoever has time, him I can show the Life magazine with four following pictures. And there it is being described that the cloud hang for 28 minutes in the sky after the local sunset, brightly illuminated. And then it moved to the west, and some other pictures were made. So it was not the coming of the Lord as Son of Man. As Son of Man he will come as a lightning that shines from the east to the west. I have never seen a lightning which hang in the sky for a long time. No, no. But as it is written, in this way the Lord will then return. And when this happens, then I am no more here. As long as you see me here, he did not yet come. Also about this statement, a brother was upset and said, what does he think of himself? As long as he is here, he thinks that the Lord has not yet come. Listen, either we believe that we have part in the rapture. So as long as we are here, the rapture didn't take place yet. For without us, there is no rapture. Or? What does Brother Branham say here? And even it would be only one, then I believe that I am that one. Why should I not believe the same way? And you also must believe for yourself in such a way. But no man who is born of God is upset about this. We know the Holy Scripture describes it very clearly. One will be taken, one is left behind. Two in the bed, two on the field, two at the mill, and everywhere. Today they are all still here. Today no one was taken yet. So it was not yet fulfilled. Actually, one doesn't have to speak much about it. God is a God of the deed and of facts, not of some kind of theories and doctrines. He is a God who has sent His Word to tell us how and what will take place, and then He watches over His Word to fulfill it, provided the time has come for it. Now, as already said, I preach very much and travel very much, and there are brothers here who most certainly want to say something. Brother Russ, I believe I don't have to say anything. Everything was said, what had to be said. I must say, I don't know how many years it is. I didn't count the years. I can only say they passed like the day yesterday. And we have, when we look back, only to thank God for His grace and for His help that He has given us. Sometimes we didn't even deserve it, and yet His loving hand carried us until this hour and until this moment. And we are grateful to God for the end-time message, and we want to abide in it until we come from believing unto seeing. We are grateful that God is still at work and that He calls people, and people who receive His word, they also want to obey His word. And so today we could again baptize 12 people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something wonderful. One soul is more precious than the whole world. For us who we really believe God's word, we are interested also to do the will of God. Not only to know the will of God, but also to do the will of God. Many probably know the will, but they don't want to do accordingly. But what good is it to know if we don't do accordingly? And it became so great to me when Brother Frank read here from the book of Acts, this verse 40. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. This went through my heart and marrow, not the others. They were all religious. They all had the law. And yet, the scripture says here that it was a perverse generation. They should let themselves be saved from this perverse generation. And here we see, not all in those days obeyed the word, the message which was given to them, but only those to whom the word of God shined when they heard it. The same we also can say, only he wants to do and will really obey the word of God, to whom the word is enlightened, to whom the light flashes, the understanding for the scripture. He is willing to accept the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism. A child doesn't know anything. It's sprinkled. It doesn't know anything of Christianity. The Bible says, first comes faith, and then comes baptism. Yes, one has to believe. And I thought, how mightily is this connected? Those who gladly received His word, they believed it. So receiving the word of God means to believe God's word. That's so wonderful. And the others, they claimed, maybe the whole nation, they claimed to believe God. But when God revealed Himself, when He made Himself known, they rejected the message. They rejected the grace of God. They despised the Lord of glory. They nailed Him to the cross. Yes, we see there were people in those days who believed with all their heart. And so we see when Peter opened his mouth and brought this message, then 3,000 souls who opened their heart and who accepted the message which God gave. Not a Peter, he was a poor bumbler like all of us. But the Lord worked with His Spirit and with His power and worked on the hearts of the people so that they could receive the word of God. And the Bible says in Romans 10, from verse 11, for the scripture says, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. This is something wonderful. We believe on no one else. We believe in no denomination, no church, but we believe alone in the Lord and His word. This is our belief in which we trust. We don't believe in statutes of men, not in commandments of men, not in the teachings of men, but we fully want to concentrate on the word of our Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, Only this can help us. Only this can save us. Those who receive His word, and no one who puts his trust in Him, on whom whoever believes in Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. That's it. If one has heard the message, then one can only say, O Lord, thank you that I can come, that I can call upon your name, that you remembered me, and that I can thank and worship you. Beloved, one day, the day and the hour came. I was a believer already, but I didn't hear the message yet. But when I heard it, and one thought, one knows everything is well. No, the Bible says God leads us from clarity to clarity. And then I also could make the step of water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Although I was baptized already in the three titles, but we had to fully walk on the way of the Lord and really do that what the scripture requires from us. And I believe all of us, we could make already this step. All of us, we want to fully obey the speaking of God. Brother Frank said it this morning already. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Unbelief is as the sin of witchcraft. But we want to believe and we want to be obedient. And for this, we are so happy that He ordained us for it, that we may be His people, that we may believe. You know, if you look into the world, there are so many who say they believe. But what do they believe? They believe what they like. But we don't believe what we like. But we believe what comes from the Word. This is our belief. Praise and thanks be to His wonderful name. Today, we will thank the Lord with all our hearts for that what He has done on us and on many thousands all over the world. When I was sitting here, I had to think on that what a brother told me last Sunday in Zurich, when in January 81 I was admitted to hospital. This was made known everywhere and caused a reaction. In any case, the brethren there in Bern, they arranged a prayer meeting. And during the prayer, he said, God showed a coffin. And then I was shown, and that the coffin should be for me. The lid went up, and I should be laid into it. And suddenly he saw how a hand came down, as it wanted to indicate, not yet. And it closed the lid of the coffin. And the voice said, he shall live. This he told me now, last Sunday in Zurich. And I was happy, you all know, if one lies dying and is pushed out, just one curtain right and one curtain left, then one feels otherwise. But there came only one thought, not of what I have done and what I have not done, but Lord, how do I stand before you? And I think this is the most important. Not how do I stand before people? How does God see me? How do I stand before Him? What do I mean for Him? And then we could continue. What does His word mean to you and me? And so forth. We are grateful to the Lord for all the ways, although they were difficult, sometimes almost unbearable. And yet, when we thought, I can't anymore, it always went on. And the Lord gave strength for the preaching of His word. As far as I know, it is more than 120 countries into which the message was carried. We are looking after people in all the world, what is not being done here is done somewhere else. In any case, we have taken the responsibility before the Lord God that everything runs in the right way. We are grateful for it, that we together may have such a part in that what God is doing now. We repeatedly set forth here that God has a plan, that He has a word of promise, and that He, when the time comes, fulfills what He promised. And we believe that we live in the last days. We believe that He has sent His servant and prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. We believe that the promises of God were revealed and that we were led into the scripture in such a way as it was never before on earth, also not at the beginning of the New Testament church. Most of the apostles were already with the Lord before John received the revelation on the Isle of Patmos, when the last and final things were said and revealed. A Paul didn't come to know about it. A Peter did not know anything of it. A James probably had no idea. God has ways and means, and it gets even greater to me that the Lord, as then, at the beginning of the New Testament, has kept the last revelations until the end, and then He made them known. That's how it looks like, that God has reserved the last working that will be the greatest until the end, to then make the end even greater and more glorious than the beginning was. With God, all things are possible. Who are we? We can just thank that we live in this time, thanking that He kept us with a sound mind and in His Word. How many believers begin to be on the blink? Forgive me to say this, but it's just like this. If one comes into their house, everything seems to be all right. But up there, they go nuts. Let us thank God that He truly kept us in His Word, in His grace, and in a sound, reasonable mind. Because this is a great grace. What did Brother Branham say? It is difficult for the Lord to find a man, and if He found one, then He has a hard time to keep him humble, because most of them go nuts. But there are also some who love the Word of God. The enemy uses the head, and God has chosen the heart. In the heart we believe, and with the mouth we confess what we believe with the heart. We believe, as Brother Rus emphasized, not just something. We believe the Lord. We believe the Word of God. We believe as the Scripture says. Now we just have to make ourselves available for the Lord, so that faith and works find closer together and that it can go hand in hand. Because faith without works is dead in itself. Faith alone, without that the works follow, is dead, and what is dead can be buried. So everything at the end must meet together. The true biblical faith and the true biblical works which Jesus did must happen again, as we looked at it yesterday. And to it, I still want to read one verse from John 14 that I didn't read yesterday. After the Lord in John 14 gave the wonderful promise that we will do the same works so that the Father is glorified in the Son. And that's what it's about. Not that we are confirmed, but that the Father is glorified in the Son. That's how it is written in chapter 14, verse 13. But I wanted to read verse 18 to 20. John 14, verse 18 to 20. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. As the Savior could say, not I do these works, but the Father who dwells in me, he does his works. So also we, on that day, as written here, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. At that day, where we receive this divine revelation and know that the Father has revealed himself in the Son and the Son has revealed himself in us. God in Christ, Christ in the Church. And as Brother Branham has said in one place, everything what God was poured into Christ, and everything what was in Christ was poured into the Church, and thus the circle is complete, and it comes at the end to the absolute and total conformity with God through Christ in the Church, and he gets the first place that becomes to him, and he will come to his right with us to work his works through us. I remind you quickly to the film of Brother Branham, when he stands there so helpless. All of you have seen it, and one could almost feel sorry for him, but he was so sincere as a man can be. And then he says, without the angel of the Lord, I'm helpless. I can do nothing until he tells me what to do. And suddenly the picture changes, and he winces, and he says, now he's here on the platform. And then he says, I take every spirit who is present under my control. In the moment where the Lord made his presence known, in the moment where the angel of the Lord stood at his right side, something supernatural was in the room. Then it was not only the sermon, not only the preaching, not only the faith. Then the Lord God began to work in a supernatural way. I watched it many times. And even then, when Brother Branham sat opposite me, he has never closed his eyes. When he saw a vision, he saw the visions with open eyes. He saw how the light, the Lord in the light, went from person to person. And the angel who stood next to him told him then what he was shown, and he passed on what he was told. You have never seen that a translator ever stood at Brother Branham's right side. Every interpreter in every country stood at his left side. There was no way. The angel of the Lord stood at his right side on the platform in the moment where the supernatural ministry started. Certainly. And then the pillar of fire was seen, and the light. And in this light, he saw whom God wanted to heal, and all the details. I hope that also all who until now have not yet heard these things so in detail, that you don't have any trouble to understand it, and we will do everything possible what is in our power to help you to understand the supernatural working of our God in this time, to tune in on your inside and to have part in that what God is doing now. We wait for it, that he finishes his work, and that we'll have part in it. We don't know whom the Lord will call home in the meantime. I wish it to myself again and again, especially when difficulties arise. Then I always wish to go home. And that would be the easiest way to escape everything. But the Lord doesn't make it so easy for us. He wants that we fight the good fight and that we persevere until the end. For he that persevereth until the end, he will be crowned. After all, we want to be crowned. So we cannot just throw down the weapons. We must put on the whole armor of God and we must walk forward. It does so well to me when I hear that somebody says to me, Brother Frank, we pray for you. This is the greatest what a person can say to me. We pray for you. And then I'm satisfied. Then I know that I'm supported by prayer, like on eagle's wings. And so I ask all of you to pray that the will of God be done, to pray that we keep pace with the word that we heard, and the distance keeps getting smaller, until finally word and spirit and bride line up 100%, as Brother Geiler said, so that God can glorify himself once more. As we read it here, at that day, may it be today that the Lord has made to glorify himself and to confirm his word and to bless his people. Blessed be his wonderful and holy name. Amen. Let us come to the front and thank the Lord.